morning. Be preaching actually from 1 Peter chapter number 5 this morning. In just a few minutes we'll read a scripture there, and I'll kind of jump around a little bit with some different text scriptures. I've preached this message many times, and this week, actually past couple weeks, ever since revival, I've had this message on my heart. I've met with several families, some of y'all, but several families also since our revival. And it seems like the devil has been attacking. And that's something that he loves to do. And I think we even mentioned on Friday, which was kind of our day, all the preachers, the visiting evangelists and singers were gone. And it was just us, our school family, and us here. And we kind of talked about, and a lot of you stood up and made some testimonies that, you know what, and some of you said, I'm sorry, and some of you, you know, made say, hey, I'm going to take some stands, and all that was good, and some of you have, and I've been very, very thankful and glad and happy for you as an individual for taking some stands that you've made. But having done that, you know what, that made the devil mad. And as we've seen these last few days and ever since then, he's come at some of you, some of us, me. Some of it's been through sicknesses, illnesses. Some of it's been through just trials in our lives. Some of it's been through just attacks where he's attacked us from in different ways. People's come against some of you. Some come against some of your families. And that's the way he is. We have a good revival. We truly are revived in our heart. God has done something great in our lives, and we really get to that point where we want to serve him. Nothing else matters, and all of a sudden the devil comes around, and he wants to do whatever he can to discourage us. And if we're not careful, you know what? We'll let him. And all that we witnessed those a couple weeks ago in revival, you know what? If we're not careful, everything that we witnessed, you know what? We'll just let slip right by as if it never even came. And I hope that we don't let that happen. And if we have already, I hope that maybe this morning that I can encourage you enough that, you know what, that we'll grab that spark again. And the Holy Spirit will, you know what, do something in our lives this morning that we can just catch a glimpse again of what took place just a couple of weeks ago in our lives. And I couldn't help to remember all week long, and I hated that we were out of, listen, I'm glad that we were out of school in a sense. I enjoyed the rest, but I hated in the sense that, you know what, I wish we could have just kept coming, and we could have just kept coming in here for services. I thought about those that were saved, those that stood up and said, hey, I'm sorry, those that stood up and said, I rededicate my life. I mean, it was just a great week. But you know what, that can continue, and it doesn't have to stop. You know what, we can have some saved this morning. There may be some that need to stand up and say, I'm sorry this morning. Some may need to come and just rededicate your life this morning, and that's fine. And that can happen any day and every day, whenever the Lord tells us. But you know what? The devil would love nothing more this morning than to discourage you to the point that, you know what? You could care less about coming to a Christian school. You could care less about even being a Christian. You could care less about, you know what? Going to a good Christian church. A good fundamental Bible teaching church. You could care less about having good Christian parents, living in a Christian home. The devil could discourage you so much that you could just care less really about life in general. And if we let him, and if you let him, you know what? That could happen. Think about Job. You know what? God said you could do basically anything that you want to him except take his life. And we know the story there of how Job lost everything that he had. Except his wife. And then, you know what? But he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then he restored unto him. And Job stayed faithful to God. And God restored unto Job that which he had lost. But this morning I want to preach to you on this thought. The devil would love to deceive you in areas of your life. The devil would love to deceive you in certain areas of your life. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I want to read to you verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for loving us. Lord, taking care of us, taking care of our every need. Lord, we thank you for what we've witnessed, Lord, this year. We thank you for, Lord, the souls that you've saved, Lord, the lives that you've changed, the ones that you've encouraged, the ones that's rededicated their lives, Father. Lord, those that's, God, that's taken a stand. And Lord, we thank you for all those. But Lord, there's maybe some here this morning that don't know you as Lord and Savior. There's maybe some here that's, Lord, that's discouraged in many different ways. And Lord, there may be some here this morning that's just at a crossroads in their life. And Lord, they don't know which path to take. And I pray that you might encourage them and give them direction this morning, Lord, that they may choose the right path in life, Lord. And God, most of all, I pray you help me this morning to say exactly what you want me to, nothing more, nothing less. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this verse here, 1 Peter 5 and 8, and I often use this illustration, and I just love it. I want to use it again this morning, but I love to watch the National Geographic Channel. And so often on this channel, you'll see over in Africa as they're filming, you'll see a lot of times these little deer out grazing in the fields, and they'll be out there in a pack together, and they'll be eating grass or whatever, and then they'll look up, and in the distance, you'll see a lion, and those lions will be looking out, and they'll be watching those little deer. And those lions, they'll kind of creep around, and they'll get on their stomach, and they'll crawl, and they'll kind of blend in and basically sneak up and try to sneak up as close as they can to these deer. And they'll keep doing that, and it may take hours and hours, and sometimes it may take all day long. Now, what the lion wants is the lion wants one of those deer to eat. They're hungry. And the lion wants one of those young deer so that they can have a meal for that day. And what the young deer, they're just wanting to feed and so they can eat and survive also. And they're out there innocently just eating, trying to survive. But yet this lion is sneaking about. And is trying to catch these deer off guard. But what the lion does is he sneaks and he sneaks and he sneaks and he crawls and he does all that he can to blend in. And then all of a sudden, when he gets so close that he picks out and he looks at the herd of deer. And he might pick out the smallest one, or he may pick out one that he sees that maybe has a limp or a hurt leg or something. But he'll pick out one particular deer. And at a certain point, all of a sudden, he knows that he can just all of a sudden take off running, and he's going to be able to get that one deer. And then all of a sudden, that's what happens. He takes off, and the deer herd, the herd scatters, and all of a sudden, but you know what? He may run by three or four that right there beside him, but he's after that one. And deer goes everywhere, but he chases that one, and he goes right after that one, and all of a sudden, you'll see him, he'll reach out with his hand, he'll grab that one deer, and all of a sudden, he's got it. And I compare that illustration to this scripture in a sense, and that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, this scripture identifies who our adversary is, and it's the devil. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now in our life, guess what the devil does? You know what? He, in a sense, walks about, tries, you know, as he goes about the day. You know what he would love to do? Walk about the day, trying his best to slip up on us when we let our guard down, okay, as a Christian. Maybe it's sin that slips in our life. You know what? And our light is not as bright as it should be. You know what? Our guard is not up as it should be. And you know what? At that right moment when we're not expecting it, guess what happens? He slips in for the attack, and all of a sudden, he has us. That word sober there, and vigilant, I love the meanings here. The word sober here means to be discreet or to be watchful. And he says, it starts out, he says, to be sober or to be watchful. Just as I here today stand out and I'm looking out these windows, as to be watchful, to look out and to watch and to make sure that as a sense, as a lion is not trying to slip up this morning and to try to slip in here to get one of the deer. And then the word vigilant there means to be, to keep awake at all times, as to never go asleep, never fall asleep. Now this is really good. I want you to get this. So we're to be watchful as a Christian, okay? And let's just use the illustration as a lion and a deer, okay? As deer, as say we're protecting, trying to protect the deer, and I'm trying to protect you as our school kids, and me as my children. But let's just say we're to be watchful. As a Christian, we're to be watchful, okay? We're to be awake. But we're to be vigilant at all times, like if we're to never sleep. That means that 24/7 that I'm watching outside, I'm watching all around, everywhere, that I'm never to let my guard down, that I'm always watching, that I'm always, okay, what is that over there? The bushes are moving. Is that him? What is that over there? I'm always paying attention. And as a Christian, that's what we have to do. That's what we need to do. But yet, so often, guess what we do? We only watch when we want to. Most of the time, because we're so busy, caught up in doing other things. We're doing things of this world, things that we want to do, things that please the flesh. That doesn't mean that we can't play basketball or football or do hobbies and go do things and shop and do the things that we want to do and still be watchful and vigilant. No, we can do that. But I'm just saying, we've got to pay attention, folks. We have got to pay attention. Because when we do not, that's when our guard is going to be let down. That's when the devil is going to take the opportunity to attack. And if we're not careful, guess what? It's going to be me, and it's going to be you. But I got 3 points that I want to make this morning to you in areas of our life. Number one, that Satan, the devil, would love to deceive us in our personal life. Or he would love to attack us in our personal life. In our personal life, number one. And most importantly, let me say, in our personal life. He would love nothing more this morning than to attack me in my personal life. Because see, if he attacks me in my personal life, if he can get through to me in my personal life, then guess what that does? That's going to affect, number one, not only me, but that's going to affect my marriage. It will. It's not only is it going to affect my marriage, but it's going to affect my family. My marriage, my children, it's going to trickle down to them. They're going to know something's going on. It's going to affect them. Not only that, guess what? It's going to affect our school. Because guess what? Not only is my family, my children going to know it, but guess what? Y'all are going to know something's going on. We know each other. We know when something's wrong. You know what? I've said this many times before. After, especially some of you older kids, after 10 minutes being around you, I can tell when something's going on in your life. Something that's not good. I can tell you. Whether it's just problems with boys or girls, or whether you're in trouble at home, mad at mom or dad, or whether things, I can tell when something's not right in your life. I can tell it. I don't know what it is, but I can tell it. We know each other. We see each other. We can tell that. But the devil will love to deceive you in your personal life. And he does this in many ways. In Matthew, over in Matthew, if you want to turn here, you can, but you don't have to. I'm going to read. But in Matthew chapter number 14, the Bible gives us a good illustration. Matthew chapter number 14. We know the story here of Jesus as he comes to his disciples walking on the water. And Peter here says, Jesus, or he speaks out, and the Bible says, first of all, they were afraid. In verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto the water. And he, Jesus, said, come. And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. In verse 30, said, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? And let me say this. Now, Satan will love to attack us or deceive us in our personal life, and he does this in many ways, but in one way that he does this, he'll do it with doubt. Listen, he'll do it with doubt. He'll deceive us, and he'll try to deceive us with doubt. Here in this passage of Scripture, think about this. Now, Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, let me come to you. And the Lord said, Peter, come on. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. And he was looking. He had his eyes on the Lord and began to walk on the water. Now, that's great. Listen, Peter's the only one that got out of the boat. We give Peter a hard time. We do. We give him a hard time because, man, he took his eyes off Jesus, as we'll get to in just a moment. But he was the only one that had enough faith to get out of the boat. But he had his eyes on Jesus, and he began to walk toward him. But you know what? He began to doubt because the Bible says here that he saw that the wind was boisterous and he was afraid. And he took his eyes off Jesus. You know what? He saw that the waves were high. And he began to hear the wind that was swirling around him. There was a great storm. And all of a sudden, it wasn't Jesus that he had his focus on. It was the storm. And he began to doubt that he was safe out there on the water. And he began to sink. And you know what? When we take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ and we begin to doubt our circumstances and our situations that we're in, then we begin to sink. And you know what? The devil would love nothing more in our lives. You know what? For us to doubt that the Lord's going to do what he says he's going to do. Listen, the Lord told Peter, he said, come on. Okay, he said, come on. Peter had no reason to doubt. The Lord said, Peter, come on. But yet Peter took his eyes off and began to doubt. Listen, the devil will put doubt in your mind. The devil will put doubt in your mind. Many of you know, the last several, I've been battling these headaches for about three and a half years. And they've been better. They get better and then they get worse. But the last several weeks, actually goes back to about May of last year. And I've struggled with them, and it seems like at times the Lord gives me peace, and at times, you know what, I doubt, and I guess me of little faith sometimes, but you know what, it's so easy for the devil to tell you that, you know what, man, you've got problems, and you're not going to make it, and things are going to happen, and it's so easy for us to have little faith when we need to just, you know what, trust God. But he'll do it through doubt. Listen, I know I know firsthand. And you know what? If he can make me doubt, you know, I've been saved 12 and a half years. And I know some of you have probably been saved a lot longer than that. Some of you, especially some of you teachers. But you know what? I've been saved 12 and a half years. And I have tried to serve him, and I've studied, and I've read my Bible. And I mean, I have studied, and I've been in Bible college for 10 years, and I'm working toward my doctorate degree, and I mean, I have really put a lot of time into studying, and there's a lot that I do know, and there's a lot that I don't know still. But you know what? I still doubt sometimes. And I know, if you know what, the devil can make me doubt sometimes, he can, y'all, too. But you know what? He would love to deceive us. He'll do this by, one way is to do it by doubt. Number two, he'll do it with distractions. Not only did he begin to doubt when he took his eyes off, but he was distracted. He was distracted by the waves and the wind. Our surroundings sometimes in life will cause us to be distracted. A lot of times our distractions is our friends. And I've said this many times, one of the greatest things that you can do is choose your friends wisely. And I mean this. Now I know as the younger children, it ain't that important. As that important. But once you get up middle school and high school, listen, it's very important that we choose our friends wisely. Because you know what? They can be the greatest distraction in your life. You know what? Or they can be the greatest help in your life. But distractions. Listen, the devil can put people in your life that will distract you. They can put people in your life, you know what? That will distract you to the point that, you know what, that you get so far away from God that you could care less whether you serve him or not. That you can care less whether you go to church or not. That you can care less whether your parents agree with what you do or not. I know that. I've seen it. I see it every day, every year in somebody's life. He will love to do this, distract us in our personal life. the devil will love to distract us. Not only that, he does it through fear also. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I've talked with several kids, especially younger kids, that deal with fear. They're just scared sometimes, and they don't even know why. But they're just scared. Sometimes they don't know why, but they're just scared sometimes. And I said, listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Power to overcome that. But sometimes, so often, you know what? It's fear in our life. It's fear in our life that holds us back. It's fear in our life that scares us. You know what? The only time that I can remember that I'm scared, that I get scared in a sense, is when I do something wrong or when I sin. And I'll be honest with you. When I know that I've sinned, it scares me. Until I confess it, it scares me. And even after I confess it, it scares me because I know there's consequences that come behind those sins. And not that I go out here and openly just do things that I know that's wrong, but you know what? Sometimes the Bible says the very thought of foolishness is sin. And I've said many times, going out and actually purposely committing a sin, I don't do a lot of that. But I sure do think a lot of foolish things sometimes. And a lot of times it's just going back and saying, "Lord, I'm sorry that I thought it, and it was there, and I'm sorry." But you know what? The spirit of fear. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. Listen, we should be happy. As a Christian, we should be happy. The happiest people on the face of the earth. But yet so often we walk around like we just lost our best friend and our dog got run over. That's the way we walk around so often. The devil would love to deceive us in our personal life. Listen, if he can do this, you know what? We'll walk around with our head down. We'll walk around as we're a defeated foe. When we're not, the victory's already been won. And number four, he'll do it through discouragement. Listen, all of us will be discouraged. We'll go through times and periods of our life where we're discouraged. You know what? We'll go through periods where individually, hey, we get discouraged by certain things that happen in our life. Certain things that happens in our life. Maybe it's personal attacks. People say things about you. See, people say things about your mama, your daddy, your family, your brother, sister, your children, whatever. You know what? You go through discouragement. You see people, kids, you know what discourages me sometimes? When I see some of you not doing exactly what you need to be doing. Giving, you know, half-heartedly an effort that, you know what, knowing that you're not giving me the best that you can. That's discouraging sometimes. Seeing people not give what they should be giving, that's discouraging sometimes. Seeing people go through sicknesses and illnesses and different things, that's discouraging sometimes. Death is discouraging. A lot of different things we face in life is discouraging. But even through those times, listen, we've got to keep our head up. We've got to just keep going. The greatest storm that there ever has been, the greatest storm ever in the history of mankind was the Great Flood. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. We read about it there in Genesis. Everything on the face of the earth that was not on the ark was killed. Greatest storm ever. But you know what? That storm passed, didn't it? The waters receded, the Bible says. The sun came out again. And you know what? The sun shined and mankind began to replenish again, and all the animals began to replenish, and here we are today. No matter what storm you may be going through, you know what? The sun will shine again. We just got to keep going. Not only would the devil love to discourage in our personal life, but number two, the devil would love to discourage us in our family lives, or he would love to destroy our family lives. Now, I've said this, and it's kind of an order to this, too. Number one is our personal life, okay? Because if he can get me personally, then it affects the second point is our family. He would love to destroy our family lives. My family and I haven't done this in a long time, but when I was young and 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, up and even into my teenage years, living at home, we had we didn't have central heat and air. We had a wood stove, wood burning stove, and we would have to chop firewood through the winter, and we would pile it up, and we'd build a fire, and through the winter, that's what heat the home. It would only heat the living room and the kitchen. And the other part of the house didn't have heat. But when it was our job as my dad and us boys, we would keep the fire going at night. And each night it was one of our responsibilities to get up in the middle of the night and make sure that we kept a new stick on the fire so it kept going. And that's what kept it warm. So we chopped a lot of firewood. But sometimes when chopping firewood, we'd cut the tree down, we'd cut the logs up in lengths about this big, and we would stand them up, and you know, sometimes those logs would be that big around, and we would take an axe or a mallet, and we would swing it, and we'd chop and we'd bust that piece of wood in half. And sometimes we'd stand it up and we'd bust it in quarters, and sometimes even in eighths, make it smaller so we could put it in the heater. But sometimes you'd get into a piece of wood that would be tough. Maybe it'd have a knot in it. And you could swing that axe, man, 100 times and it wouldn't bust it. And you would have to get this, what they call a wedge and a sledgehammer. And you'd make a little hole in the top of that wood, and somebody would hold that wedge, and you'd get that sledgehammer, and you would hit that wedge with that sledgehammer. You'd hit that wedge. And that wedge, you would end up driving that wedge in that piece of wood. And you would drive it, and you would drive it, and you would hit it, and you would hit it. And the further you drove it in there, all of a sudden that wood would begin to bust open. And then you keep hitting it, and all of a sudden it would just bust apart. And you know what? That's the way the devil is. He's like that wedge. He's just like that wedge. And if we're not careful in our lives, you know what? That wedge, that devil, you know what? He'll get in between sometimes our family. And it may be that, you know what? It's our mother and our father. It's your mother and your father. You know what? The devil would love nothing more to be a wedge in between a husband and a wife. And you know what? And he'll love to just bang and bang and bang until all of a sudden he can separate them two. And then that affects the home. He would love nothing more to do that. My mom and dad divorced when I was 10 years old. And I remember it broke my heart. I didn't understand it. And it broke my heart. I remember those couple years after that, I was just heartbroken. Because I was separated between, I was torn back and forth. And a week here and a week there. And I didn't understand it. So I know firsthand how that hurts. But I know how the devil is. You know what? And the main thing, what he would love to do is he would love to try to use you children as that wedge. You know what? One thing I've always said, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you know what? No matter what we do, you're to obey them. No matter what, listen, they're your parents, you're to obey them. As if a dog obeyed their master. We're to obey them. And everything the Bible says, they're in charge. We're to obey them. And make sure, because you know what? If you're not careful, guess what? In your family, the devil would love to drive a wedge down in your family. You know what? And if he can't get you personally, you know what? If he can get you personally, then you know what? He's got a good chance that, you know what? He may affect your family life also. And it may not be you. You know what it may be? Anita and I talk all the time. You know what? We kind of hope we've got little things we hold each other accountable for. Because you know what? Hey, the devil may not get me, but guess what? He may get her. You know what? And if he gets one of us, you know what? It's going to drive a wedge in between our marriage. And then it's going to affect our family. And we try to hold each other accountable for certain things. And we talk about certain things because we don't want that. But listen, our families are precious. Listen, you ought to pray for your mothers and your fathers. Pray for your family that God will put a hedge of protection. Every night we pray that God will put a hedge of protection around our family. That you know what? That nothing will, that the devil will not be allowed, you know what, to hinder in any way, shape, or form our family. Number one, Satan would love to deceive us personally in our personal lives. He would love to destroy our family lives. And number three, he'd love to destroy our church life. You know what? I'm thankful that I belong to a good Bible-believing church. I love my church. Most of you know, if not all of you, this is my home church, Holy Ground Baptist Church. This is the only church that I've ever known. I got saved while I was here. I grew up here. I hope this is the only church that I ever am a part of. I love my church. But you know what? I've seen how the devil can raise his ugly head, and you know what? How he can infiltrate, even in our churches, how he can come in and cause problems in the church. And you know what? I've witnessed also how through an individual, you know what, that maybe gets out of God's will, or somebody that's not right with God, how through one person, you know what, how problems can come in through one person's life that's not right with God. How, you know what, that can lead to problems in his family life, that family can just totally fall apart, and all of a sudden have nothing else to lose, and then all of a sudden try to come into a church and split a church. I've seen it personally, firsthand. You know what? The devil is slick. Hey, in the perfect environment in the Garden of Eden, you know what? He deceived Eve. When they had never, at that point, never had been any sin, he deceived Eve. He's slick. He's cunning. And don't think that, you know what, you're too cool or you're too good that he can't get you, because he can. But you know what, he'll deceive our churches, not only through, but he'll do it through division. You know what, how many times have somebody ever looked at you funny and you think, man, he's mad at me? How many of you ever thought that? Probably a bunch of us. One of you girls, probably somebody may have looked at you funny one day and you thought, she's mad at me. And all of a sudden, then you get mad at her, and all of a sudden there's drama. And you know what? And nobody's mad at anybody. It's just the devil. That's the way he is. I remember one time I had been saved probably about a year, and I remember it was in the little church next door. That's where that church were at the time. And I remember looking back during the middle of service, I don't know for whatever reason, I looked back to the back of the church, and I remember looking back there, and I don't know what I was looking back there for, but I had looked, somebody, when I turned around, somebody had looked at me, and they thought I was looking at them. And they thought that I was mad at them for some reason. And I wasn't. I was looking, for something else. But anyway, so the next few weeks went by, and I just kind of felt a coldness from this person, and I didn't know why. And then it just kind of got to where this person was very bitter, very, very, very bitter against me. And the Bible said, if you have aught against your brother, to go to him, thee and thee alone. So I knew something was wrong. So finally one day I just went on a Monday night visitation. I just went to see this brother, and I said, hey, I just wanted to come see you. I just can't, maybe I'm wrong. I just sensed the last few weeks that I don't know if I've done something to offend you or what, but I've just felt the coldness and felt that you've just been real bitter toward me, and I just didn't know if I've done something wrong. I just want to, and this is what he said. He said, well, several weeks ago, said, you just looked back here during service at me and gave me a dirty look and said, I've just been mad ever since. And I said, brother, I am so sorry. I said, I have no idea why I've done that, but I said, I certainly must, I don't think I was looking at you. It must have been something else. I said, I have nothing against you. Long story short, right there, man, he started crying, I started crying, and he hugged my neck, and he said, I am so sorry. And you know what? He's one of my dearest friends today. He still goes to church with me. Every week we hug and shake hands. And you know what? But that was the devil. That was the devil. That's the way he is. That's the way he is. He would love nothing more in our lives today to deceive us. But you know what? Personally, if he can get a hold of us personally and deceive you and trick you, he'll do it. Number two, you know what? Our family lives. He loved to deceive you in our family lives. If we're not careful, you know what? If you're not careful, you know what? It may be you that he uses in the family. And then number three, in our church, you know what? He'd love to deceive us in our church. Melissa, if you'll come on to the piano. He would love to deceive you in our church. He'll do it through not only division in the church, through individuals, but you know what? He'll do it through doctrine. You know what? He'll do it through doctrine. One thing that we're very big on here, and y'all know this through doctrine, hey, salvation is by grace only, through faith. That's the only way to get to heaven is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a personal decision. It's not my decision for you. It's your decision for you when the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. That's the only way to heaven. There's some things that, you know what, we fight for. You know what, you can't ever lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved. That's doctrine. That's what we stand for. That's what we fight for. But you know what, a lot of times in churches, there's problems because of doctrine. You know what, the Word of God is the Word of God. It's true. We just got to believe it. We've got to hold to it. But you know what? Listen, it goes back to point number one. He would love to deceive you in your personal life. Doubt, distractions, fear, discouragement, and maybe others, as you can put in there. Maybe he's gotten to you somehow through one of these areas. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you've lost your joy because of something else in life. Maybe there's another problem that's come up in your life. Maybe there's another event that has taken place in your life that, you know what, has happened and you had no control over it whatsoever, but it has stolen the joy that you once had in your heart. It's stolen that joy away. And you know what? The devil has slipped in somewhere. Maybe it wasn't in yours. Maybe it ain't got nothing to do with you. It was somebody else. But your joy is gone this morning because of something else. You know what? You can get that joy back. I remember so many times in the altar, both sides of this altar, saying, Lord, my joy is gone. Would you please help me get it back? And you know what? Time and time again, he's done that. Listen, whatever your need is this morning, whatever it is, maybe it's just you need to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just something you need to repent of. Man, just come. Won't you come do that? Hey, maybe you realize that you need to be saved. You know what? Just come this morning. Maybe you just have questions about something in your life. Why don't you come? Whatever the need is this morning, let's all stand together. Miss Melissa plays. These altars are open. Why don't you come this morning? Anybody? Anybody need to come this morning? Anybody?